Sure was enjoying the good singing this morning. For just a couple minutes there, while all those kids was up here singing, I guess I kindly forgot how nervous I was for just a minute, and I'd ask y'all to pray for me. I've thought and prayed and felt like I had something in particular on my heart. But I don't know what the message is this morning, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to trust the Lord that He'll supply what we stand in need of. I was thinking this morning, I guess, sitting around the house early before everybody got up, I was thinking the last time we got to stand here was on our ordination night. Then I thought on a little bit further, and the first time I ever got to stand for Randy, it was a real learning experience for me. I come in and I had been studying on a thought for days and felt like I had that thing figured out. And it was the fourth time I'd ever stood. And I sat there on the front bench and the Lord turned my heart to a different scripture there, and I panicked and I got up there and I just tried to read what I had been studying. And I don't know, I'm just being honest, Williams, for a minute, and y'all bear with me. We'll get there in a few minutes. If we don't, well, somebody else can come on. But I got up there and I just panicked. I didn't trust the Lord the way I ought to. And I'll just tell you, I fell on my face. But I learned something that afternoon over there, and that's to trust God no matter what the situation is. We got to trust God. There ain't nothing this morning that I can say or do that's going to be a help to anybody here. But if I can just get me out of the way for a minute, well, maybe I can give you something from God that might be a help to you. If you got your Bibles and you want to read along with us, I'm going to read a little bit out of the 24th chapter of Joshua. I'm going to start reading here in the 14th verse. It says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed." And y'all pray for me for just a minute. That's as far as I feel like reading. But I thought about in the beginning of this here, my Bible's got a little heading up there, and it talks about the benefits of God. And I thought about some of the benefits of God, I guess, there. And it explains it in this chapter here, how God had led all these people out of Egypt, how they'd been down there in hard bondage down in Egypt, and crying out to God for maybe over 400 years there, and asking that they might be delivered from that place that they were in there. And God heard their cry down there, and He sent Moses down that way to deliver them out of that bondage that they were in there. And God didn't just deliver them from it and then leave them. He continued to go with them out through the
desert, in the wilderness, whenever they found themselves out there at the Red Sea, they begin to gripe and grumble against Moses there and tell him, hey, you've brought us out here into the desert that we might die because they wasn't enough of graves back there in Egypt. And that same God that delivered them out of that bondage, he went around behind them and he put the Egyptians in utter darkness there that they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. All night long there, the children of Israel, they were encamped there on the edge of the Red Sea there, and they were safe and could see, and Egypt was behind them in the dark. And I just thought on and on. Time goes on there. God just continues to bless His people and to watch out for them. And time and time again, God's people turns their back on Him and goes back. They were telling Moses, I would that we was just back in Egypt. So many times whenever things seem like they get a little bit tough on us, we get ready to just throw our hands up in the air and just quit on God. But there ain't never been a time in the Bible that I found where God quit on us. It's real easy. Whenever we come up against a little bit of adversity there, whenever they had sent them spies over there to spy out the land of Canaan there, some of them came back and they began to tell them, said, there's giants over here in this land, and they got fences up and they got all these different things round about. There ain't no way that we can take them. You know, because of all this sin they had in their lives there, they had to go and spend some time out there in the wilderness wandering around there. They was having to do a little bit of paying for not trusting in God. But the whole time that they was out there in the wilderness, just like Joshua said right here, God preserved them throughout all of it. You don't read in one place where their shoes wore out or they ever starved to death out there. But God provided for them. He sent them manna from heaven, and they was quails come into the camp, and whenever they didn't have nothing to drink, they'd just go out there to the rock and get them some. That's what we need to do a lot of times. We need to go to the rock and try to get us a drink from heaven that can give us a little bit of nourishment for our souls today. But Joshua told him, he said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And I can't help but think about Elisha back there whenever he had came to Ahab there, and there had been a mighty famine in the land. They didn't have no water, and they was all serving Baal and all these different things back there. And Elijah, he come down there. And he told them, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if God be God, then serve God. And if He ain't God, then just serve whoever you think He is. But he went on there and he told them, he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. You gather up all the servants of Baal there and bring them down here. We'll all just call out to our gods, and whichever God answers by fire, let that be God.
Amen.
Elijah told him, he said, hey, there's a great many of y'all. Won't y'all just go first? He said, go ahead and get us two bullocks down here, and y'all go ahead and dress the bullock and cut that thing up and build the altar, do everything that you're supposed to do to make a sacrifice and begin to call. So they did just that. They built the altar up and got their bullock down there and slew that thing and cut it up. And they begin to call out from the early morning till the middle of the day, calling out to Baal, wanting him to send that fire down. But he never answered them. Elijah, the Bible says about lunchtime there, he began to kind of poke fun at him a little bit there and say, well, hey, he's a god. Maybe he's a talking to somebody, or maybe he's on a long trip, or hey, he might even be asleep out there. They got up on the altar. They begin to cut themselves until the Bible says they was blood gushing out. You know, when people are looking for something, they'll do all sorts of stuff that don't make any sense for nothing in the world up there, calling out to some god that they had invented in their minds and cutting themselves. Whenever they give up there, Elijah got up there and he built the altar back, and he had a ditch dug around that thing, and he slew that bullock and cut it up, and laid that thing in place on the altar, and he told them to go and get them some barrels of water, and they began to pour water all over that sacrifice and on the altar until they had soaked all that stuff and filled that ditch up all the way around it there. And then he cried out to God, the one and only God. Hey, they ain't no other. They ain't no man-made figment of your imagination that's ever going to be able to do anything for you today except the one and only God this morning. He began to call out to him, and the Bible says that fire fell down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and all those stones that Elijah had laid down. He said it licked up the dust and the water and everything around on that offering there. All those people standing around there, they saw what God had done. Hey, they turned their heart from the way they had been living, I believe, with everything in me. They turned their hearts back to God. They gathered all those servants of Baal up there and slew them down there by the river. And then the word got back of it there to old Jezebel there. And she told Elijah, she said, you know what? By tomorrow at this time, if I don't do unto you what you've done here, let the gods do unto me. I thought about Elijah and what he had just seen God do there, the power of God sending the fire down out of heaven. And then you know, you read in your Bible, whenever it talks about the gods there, it's a little g in front of it. Elijah knowed that the one and only God of heaven, that's the only God that could do anything. But hey, he's just like the rest of us. He got nervous whenever she made that threat to him there, and he went off out into the wilderness there. Got out there in the wilderness and laid down under that juniper tree there, and hey, he was just having him a little old pity party there, if you'll have it this morning. He was upset there. He thought he was the only one, the one and only one left that still loved God. Bible says he's asleep there, and the angel came and touched him and woke him up and told him he needed to eat and he needed to drink there. And he looked around, and there was a little pone of bread there and a cruse of water, and he took and ate and drank of that and went back to sleep. And a little bit later, here come that angel again. Touched him again, told him, says, you need to eat and you need to drink, for the journey is too great for thee. Hey, this morning, church, we need to be a eating, we need to be a drinking. The journey is too great for us today. Bible says he got up off of the nourishment of that, and he went for 40 days out there, and he went to the Mount of God out there, and he found himself in a cave there, and God came and spoke to him. Asked him, he says, Elijah, what are you doing out here? He said, Lord, I've been very jealous for you. He said, I ain't no better than nobody. Why don't you just go ahead and take me on home to be with my father's there? God wanted to reveal Himself to him. Now, this is the way God is.
Bible says that there was a great wind come through. That thing, it rent the mountains and broke the rocks. And then there was a mighty earthquake came through. And then a great fire. Hey, these are three natural disasters there that is great and powerful. But then at the end of it, it says there was a still small voice there. And hey, God was in that still small voice. It don't matter what's going on in this world. God is there for us just when we need Him in that still, small voice. Hey, God can be a help to us today. It don't matter what's going on around about us. But whenever we get away from God, we got to turn our hearts back to Him. We got to get back to that place where God can use us, that we might be profitable unto Him. I thought about old David there. He's a perfect example of messing up and then getting yourself back to God. Oh, David, how the Bible said that the time of the year had came around where the kings went out to war. And hey, old David, he sat piled up at the house there, wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And sure enough, the Bible says he had went up onto his rooftop there and looked down and saw old Bathsheba down there. And he thought, boy, she's pretty. Bible said he got his servants and sent them down there that they might inquire about who that was there. And David called her up there to him. And the Bible said that he laid down with her there in a way that he didn't have no business of doing. It's that thing. I couldn't say a lot during Sunday school this morning because you was getting too close to what I had on my heart there. But the Bible said that he had done committed a sin there that hey would have been worthy of death there. And then old David, he didn't stop right there. He went on and found out that she was pregnant and sent for her husband to have him brought home from war. Got him brought back. And told him, he said, I want to know how the wars are going down there. I want to know how my servants are doing, are leading our people, and just tell me all about it there. And after Uriah had told him all these things, he told him, he said, well, all right, now you can go on down to your house and spend the night. Boy, he'd have loved nothing more than to Uriah to went home and he'd have felt like, boy, that old sin that I've committed in my life, that thing's a covered up. Ain't nobody ever gonna know about it. But Uriah, being the good servant that he was, Bible said he just laid outside the king's door that night. And the next morning when the king found out that he didn't go down and lay with his wife, he said, well, why didn't you go down there? Hey, you at home this evening? He said, well, all you men's out there at war sleeping in tents on the ground, and who am I that I ought to be out here getting to go to my house and lay with my wife there? So David, he thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll go ahead and get him in here and give him a good meal and get him to drink in there, and he'll be wanting to go home then. So he did just that. Got him in there and got him fed up good and got him to drink in there and sent him on his way. And sure enough, David just laid back down outside the king's door. David didn't know what he's going to do now. He thought to himself, well, I got a plan. I know what I'm going to do to cover up this sin. Hey, I want to tell you this morning, church, when you go to trying to cover up sin and hide it, God knows what you're doing and He knows what you've already done. All we're going to do is hurt ourselves and hurt other people. It was said down there in the Sunday school hour this morning about whenever a preacher or a pastor or a deacon or one of these figures inside the church, whenever they fall away from God, the damage it does. Hey, we don't just hurt ourselves this morning. Whenever we get out of God's will, we hurt ourselves and those around us. But old David, he had done sent word by the hand of Uriah, no less, back to his man back there at the battle and told him, said, I want you to take Uriah and put him in the hottest spot of the battle.
Uriah delivered that letter back. Jahab may have been his name, I don't know, but he got the letter and he took that thing and he tore it up and he got done and put Uriah right out there in the hottest spot of the battle. And sure enough, he got killed out there. And old David, he thought, hey, I've got away with it. I've got by with this awful sin that I've committed in my life. And hey, church, don't take me wrong this morning. I ain't just talking about what our minds comprehend as some great and terrible sin. I want to tell you today that the Bible says if you've offended in one point, you've offended in them all. Sin is sin in the eyes of God today. I don't want you to think, well, hey, I ain't committed no sin. It was too bad this morning. He ain't a preaching to me. God ain't pleased with sin. David thought he had covered that sin up. And here come the prophet to him there and begin to tell him a story about a man, about two men there. One of them was rich and had these great herds and all these different things there, and the other one was a poor man, and the Bible says he didn't have nothing but just one little old lamb there. Bible talks about that lamb, said that he loved that lamb, that he ate with his children, and hey, he raised that lamb, and he loved that thing. But there was a wayfaring man passed through and asked that rich man about something to eat. And him not being willing to take from himself to give to him, he went and took that little old man's one little old lamb there, the only thing that he had. He took and had that thing killed and fed it to his friend there. The Bible said that boy David was mad. He just saw straight red whenever he heard this, and he said that that man was going to repay fourfold and was going to lose his life for this thing. The prophet told him, he said, you're the man. Oh, David, he got remorseful whenever he realized, hey, I have sinned before heaven and I've sinned before God there. He goes on over there in the 51st Psalm, and I'm going to read it. Y'all just bear with me. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now this right here is a verse that I've had a burning on my heart for a while. This verse right here, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Hey, this morning, if you don't ever get to the spot where you're willing to acknowledge your transgressions and say, my sin is ever before me. We ain't never going to get no forgiveness, church. Hey, God resists the proud this morning, but offers grace to the humble. I thought about that prodigal son there when him and his, he had a brother there. The Bible said that he had went to his father and he said, Father, I want my half of your goods. I'm ready for my half of the inheritance. I'd like to go ahead and get it. And that father just went ahead. He divided up what he had there and gave half to the prodigal son and half to the other son there. And the Bible said that a short while later, hey, he took his things and he left out. He went into a foreign country there and wasted everything he had on righteous living out there, and he was flat broke and out in a foreign land there, and the Bible said that there was a mighty famine came on the land out there. You know, when we get away from the Father's house, we begin to come into want. When we get out of the Father's house, we begin to long for something that we can't find out there in the world. We need a little bit of that Spirit about us. But the Bible said that he had attached himself to a citizen of that country, and that citizen was sending him out into the fields that he might feed the swine. Bible says that old prodigal son, he was starving to death out there feeding the hogs, and he began to think to himself, back at my father's house, his servants has enough to eat and even enough to spare, and here I am starving to death, wishing I'd just be eating what the hogs is eating. You know, no doubt, whenever he left the Father's house and went out there into the world, he probably really felt like he had friends while he was blowing that money and spending it and just having a big time. But whenever he was broke, he found out the world didn't love him. You know, once we've give our heart and souls to Jesus Christ, we can't go back into the world and get any kind of peace and comfort. That Spirit within us longs to be back with God. But he thought to himself, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my Father's house and I'll tell him I've sinned before heaven and I've sinned against you. Hey, I believe he went to acknowledging some of the sin that he had in his life. He was acknowledging some of those transgressions that he had. Bible says that he went back to the Father's house there, and the Father saw him a great ways off there and had compassion on him. Hey, church, this morning I want you to know that God loves you today. I don't know what anybody might have going on in your life. I don't know if there might be just a little bit of sin out there. Maybe you don't know God from a free pardon of sin this morning, but I want you to know that God loves you. God sent His Son to die for you. Bible says, whosoever, that don't exclude anybody, Brother Randy, whosoever would believe on Him, Christ died for you. But the Bible says the Father had compassion on him and ran and fell about his neck there. And he told his servants, he said, I want you to go and I want you to get the best robe and put on his back and put shoes on his feet. I want you to get a ring and put on his hand. For my son, which was lost, is now found and is dead. Hey, he's back. I want to tell you this morning, church, God wants us to come back to him. But we got to get to a place where we can acknowledge those transgressions. If we can't be honest with ourselves, how are we going to be honest enough with God to get back in His good graces? That 51st Psalm, I wish you'd go read it after church. That's a beautiful apology that David has said to the Lord there. Hey, he's prayed to him, asking him to blot out those transgressions. Hey, he's admitted to his wrongdoings, and he's asking God just to forgive him. Amen. Bible says if we'll confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us. I don't know anybody here's heart this morning, but that's as far as I can go. If y'all come get a song, everybody at Wood, stand to your feet this morning. If you feel like praying, you come down.